Remember that. Continue to remember the pastor. He and his wife are heading for Pennsylvania tonight. He's going to preach a meeting. And I thank God we got a preacher that somebody else wants to hear. Yeah. We could have one like me. Don't nobody invite me to come preach meetings, but like Kirk Cameron, I get left behind, but that's all right. And I told him, I said, you know, that's a blessing that we can have him as a pastor and get to hear that preaching every week, and other people, he gets to go out and preach meetings and help other people. Man, that's a blessing. If they didn't think he had something they needed, they wouldn't invite him. Amen. So I thank God for him. So pray for him and Brother Scott as they preach that meeting this week. And pray for me that the kookaburra won't get back in my throat tonight. Turn with me to the book of Romans, please. Romans. We've been having some good services lately, haven't we? It seemed like just a good spirit in every service, you know. And you can have a bad spirit amongst people that believe the Bible, amen. But everybody gets on the same page with the Holy Spirit, and it'll be a good spirit. And I thank God for it. It's been really good. So continue to pray for the pastor. Continue to pray for the church that God would grow us in spirit and numbers he sees fit. Romans chapter 5 tonight, verse number 1. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith. How are you justified? Yeah. By faith is what the Bible says, right? Not your works. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand by grace through faith, that's what the Bible says, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We're justified by faith. We have peace with God by our faith that we place in Jesus Christ, and he gives us the faith to be saved. Help the Lord, I'm going to preach a few minutes on where do you stand. Brother Jeff, you pray for us.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before our great, mighty, and holy God. Thank you for so
thank
great
you, Lord.
Salvation.
Yes. Touch us, Lord.
Certainly justifies
help us here tonight, Lord.
On this planet. Whoever has
touch us,
will
Lord
be,
God.
Is born this day. For by
thank
grace
you, Lord.
Are we saved through faith. I thank you, Father, for those words. One day I heard them.
Thank you, Lord.
And I call upon thy precious name. Saving,
touch us, Lord. Help us, Lord.
Grace. As David said, you pulled me up also
thank
out of that
Lord.
Horrible pit. Set me on the solid rock.
Amen.
Established my goal.
Thank you, Lord.
What a Savior we serve.
Amen.
Lord, remind us again
thank
tonight.
You,
Peter said, I bring to remembrance those
touch
things.
Us, Lord.
Lord, it's good to remember where we came from at times.
Thank you, Lord.
Revive our soul. Revive us tonight through thy word. May thy word bring
thank you,
us
Lord.
More faith in thee. In Jesus' precious name I pray.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Justified, peace with God is what the verse says, right? So we are justified after we come to Jesus and have peace with God. There was a time when we did not have peace with God.
Amen.
We were at enmity with God. And you may not have understood it and may not have known it, but looking back now, you can see the way your life was. It was in turmoil. Something missing, right? Something missing that God intended to be inside of every person that's him. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Bible says after we're saved, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That was missing. How do we get it? Through faith, that verse says, right? There was a day that you heard the gospel in some way, shape, form, or another. Chances are someone was praying for you. You heard the gospel, and God opened your understanding, and you realized, hey, I'm going to die and go to a devil's hell if I don't do something. What can you do? Believe. That's all you can do. Some people try to reform. Some people try to turn over a new leaf. And we can all remember that time. We were leaf turners, man. We were going to do different. Going to do better. But there was a time, if you're saved, born again by the grace of God, when you heard the gospel, you cried out to Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, he saved your soul if you did. We believed in Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You believed on Jesus Christ, and you received the grace of God. That is our position. In the eyes of God, if you trusted Jesus Christ for your salvation, your position, you are in Christ, and you are saved forever. Amen. Saved by the grace of God. When that took place, you were no longer that old miry clay of trusting in yourself and trusting in your good works and trying to do better and trying to do gooder. We do gooder down here. We don't do better. Trying to do gooder. You were no longer on that miry clay. Turn to Psalms chapter 40 with me. Let's look and see what the psalmist said about it. I believe God can put it in a better way than I can. Psalm chapter number 40. Look at verse number 2 with me. David the psalmist says, look at verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. Remember the day you cried out? Look at verse 2. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. If you are a Christian, a born again child of God here tonight, you are on solid footing. If you can't get your feet up on you, you can't do much of nothing. You can't walk, you can't run, you can't carry anything, you can't help people. If you can't get your feet up under you, you can't do much of anything. And that's the way we were when we were lost. Our footing was all messed up because we were trusting in something besides the rock. But when we cried out to Jesus Christ in faith, he saved our soul. And the Bible says that we are standing on that rock, which is Jesus Christ. No other foundation can any man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's it. I spent a lot of time down here on the river. Don't much anymore. It's hot and stinky and sweaty. And man, I don't like that thing no more. I used to love it though. And that mud down there in that river is so slick. And it's not like mushy. Like you won't step in and sink up to your knees. It's not that kind of mud. It's firm, it's hard, it's clay. But it is so slick, a cat can't keep 4 feet on the ground, man. I mean, it will put you on your behind. That's the way a lost person is in this old world. It doesn't matter how they try to stand or what they try to do. Their footing's not firm. It's based on sand. When that storm comes, it's going to wash the house away. They're going to be in trouble and find themselves right back on their back like they were before. But we as Christians have solid footing on where to stand. And I want to preach a few minutes tonight on where we stand. Where do you stand? First off, right here in this passage we read in Romans chapter 5, we stand in the grace of God. That's what the verse says, isn't it? Look what it says. Verse number 2, Romans 5 and 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. If you're born again by the grace of God tonight, you are standing in God's grace. You know what kind of grace God has? God has saving grace, amen. That's saving grace. Grace is getting something you do not deserve. If you're saved tonight, it's by the grace of God. Not your works, not what you have done. God gives us grace to be saved. You know what God does? He gives us grace to live in. Do you live the way you did before you got saved? If you do, I would stop right now and do a checkup because something's fishy. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. When a man or a woman or a child gets saved, some things should change. God gives us grace to live in. The grace of God hath appeared unto all men. Turn to Titus with me. Titus. Titus chapter number 2. Let me show you what the grace of God will lead you to do. People say, well, this eternal security thing, so you can just Live any way you want to. That's not what the grace of God leads people to do. The grace of God leads people to live righteously and holy and justly is what the grace of God does. Look at Titus chapter 2 and verse number 11. The Bible says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation. That's the grace you were saved with, that grace. What's it going to teach you to do? How's it going to teach you to live? Hath appeared unto all men, teaching us what? That denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's what the grace of God is going to lead you to do. Not do anything you want to. Not live any kind of sinful lifestyle you want to. The grace of God is going to lead you into a holy, righteous, just life. So any argument those folks have, those verses just blow completely out of the water. It's not what the grace of God is leading us to. The grace of God will save us. God will give us grace to live by. And then what God will do? Give you grace to worship by. I just love to shout every now and then. I just like it. I just like it. You ever see anybody and coming to the church and they're not sure? Maybe they're lost and you're singing the songs and you're just singing and letting it roll and they're standing there and they're mouthing words like this. You can't hardly hear them. They don't have the grace to worship. Yeah. They don't know, right? Yeah. I remember the first time I came to this church, a friend of mine, Brother Jeff Davis, invited me to a preacher's fellowship. And I came in and we sat down and service got going and things was flipped in. They got up and going to sing a song and we got up. And everybody in the church was singing loud as they could, man. I come from a Southern Baptist church. We didn't do that. I thought, man, this is awesome. The first thing I noticed about this church, people knew how to worship. And people would just stand up and say, amen, and praise the Lord. What leads you to do that? The grace of God. You didn't do it before you were saved, did you? You know what? Know the grace that we stand in. You know what it'll do? God will give you grace to die by. Wait a minute now. We was doing pretty good to living and worshiping. You know what you can do? You can be saved and serve God and live for God and go through the ups and go through the downs and go through the tough times and the good and the bad and the ugly and everything that happens to Christians. And if you make it to a deathbed, you know what you can do? You can lay right there and say, God has been good to me. He has never done me any wrong, and I'm looking forward to go home and be with my Father. Our friend, Mr. Alan Hood. Sarah gives him prayer requests for him often, and he's got cancer, and he's fought it off one time, and he's tired. He's not going to take all them chemo therapy treatments and stuff this time, and this ain't going to do it. And his family was telling us, well, he doesn't understand what he's saying. He understands exactly what he's saying. I tell you what he told me. He said, I ain't taking all that stuff. He said, I'm not living my life like that. He said, if God heals me, I'll be healed. And if he don't, I'll go home and see my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and my wife that's home with him. Now, who doesn't understand what they're saying? He understands exactly what he's saying because he's got not only the grace to be saved and live with, he's got the grace to die by.
Amen.
That's where we stand in the grace of God. Now, where else we stand? Turn to Romans chapter 14 with me. Let me show you somewhere else we're staying. As born again, Bible believing children of God. Turn to Romans 14. Romans 14, verse number 10. The Bible says in Romans 14, 10, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or what dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You know where you're going to stand one day as a Christian before the judgment seat of Christ? People say, well, praise God, I'm saved. It's all roses and daisies from here on. I do what I want. You are going to give an account for what you do in this body. Does that mean you'll lose your salvation? Never. Can't happen. But you'll stand before God Almighty and you'll see the things that you caused come to pass and the things that you could have prevented if you live a godly life, and your works will be burned up and you'll be standing there with nothing to give back to the one that hung on that cross and lived and died for you. You know where we're going to stand one day as Christians? before the judgment seat of Christ.
Amen.
Talk about the grace some more, brother. Nowhere else we stand. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 with me. I put these in order. How about that? That's awesome, ain't it? 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Look at verse number 5. 1 Corinthians 2 and 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You know where you stand as a Christian? In the power of God. You know what you got power to do? Anything Jesus Christ wants you to do. And don't go jumping off of buildings. And Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord God, right? Don't go being Superman. That's just... But anything that God Almighty calls you to do, you can do it through Him, through the power of God. That's what the Bible says. God calls you to preach. Guess what? You can preach.
Amen.
There was a time when I was growing up, I stuttered. It was awful. I mean, it like wasn't... People didn't even pick on me. It was so bad. The kids at school wouldn't even hardly pick on me. That's how bad it was. That's terrible, ain't it? You at school, a little child, you stutter so bad the children won't even pick on you. It was awful. I mean, I was old enough to want to go places with my friends, and I'd have to write my mama a note asking her if I could go. That's terrible, ain't it? You can't even talk to your mama. And I began to get a little older, and my speech got a little better, and I thought, myself, you know, I'm awesome. That's what Brother Jim said, right? I'm awesome. Brother Charlie said that. I thought, well, I'm getting a little more confident in myself. That's what it is. Getting confident. It wasn't anything in the world, but the Lord God was going to call me to preach. And He fixed that thing. Speech therapy I went to couldn't fix it. Nobody could fix it, but the Lord fixed it. You know what you can do? Anything Jesus Christ calls you to do. Let me show you a verse. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 with me. Let me show you something. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 10. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4 and 10, we are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. You know what you are to this world? A stinking fool. I cannot believe this is what the world's telling you. They might not tell you, but they're thinking it behind your back. I cannot believe that he is stupid enough to go down there all the time. He's down there 3 or 4 days a week. Dude don't even fish no more. Probably can't even work a topwater lure no more. And give all his money down there. And then missionaries come in and getting all their money. And they going out. They living up pretty good. And he's down there struggling with his bills. You know what you are to the world? You are a fool to the world. Yeah, but you know what? They don't know the power of Christ. They don't know this isn't the end. They don't know that what you're doing, you're not doing to get glory. You're doing it that God may be glorified and souls may be saved. They see you as a fool. This world does. But I tell you, if the world sees you living for God as a fool, you know what you're living by? You're standing in the power of God is what you're doing.
Amen.
Standing in the power of God. Told old boy one time we was talking about tithe, and he said, I can't give 10% of mine. I said, I figured out one thing. I can do more with 90% and God on my side than I can 100% without Him.
Amen.
That's just a fact, Jack.
Amen.
We stand in the power of God. You know where else we stand? First, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me show you somewhere else we stand. God made it so plain and simple and clear and easy. If it was hard, I couldn't do it. I'd stink and quit. I'd quit. That's why I don't like playing games and puzzles. I don't like thinking about stuff like that. I just want to sit on the couch and watch Daniel Boone or something. Man, don't hurt my mind. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Look down at verse 3. For I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You know where we as Christians stand in the gospel, what the Bible says.
Yeah.
Paul said, wherein you stand, that's the only stand that you and I can take for salvation.
Yeah.
None other. Not getting in this water. Not being a good church member, not having good works, the footing that we stand on is the gospel for salvation. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. We don't have to know 12 different ways. We don't have to know 12 steps. I gave you a paper this morning with 5 steps on it. And it's good, and read it and study it. But you know what Paul said when the Philippian jailer asked him? He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and ye shall be saved. We don't have to know the steps. We don't have to know the plans. We don't have to know the catechism, whatever that is. We don't have to know none of that. All we have to know is that you a sinner and you're going to hell. But if you'll believe on Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. That's where we stand. We stand in the gospel.
Yeah,
amen. Let me show you where else we stand. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 30. I put this in there, and it pretty much don't apply to us, but you know what? It may one day. It applies to some Christians in the soul world. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 and 30. And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? You know what you're pretty much in jeopardy of? Somebody tearing that bumper sticker off your car and throwing it away. That's about the only jeopardy we stand in, right? That's why y'all remember Susano, the Mexican family was coming. People were stealing his signs off his van. That dude glued the magnetic signs to his van. That's in it to win it, ain't it? That's the only jeopardy we stand in.
Yeah.
But if this thing continues on and heads the way it's headed, there may come a day when standing up for Christ will cost you your life.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about the tribulation. I'm talking about pre-tribulation, because before the tribulation period comes, you and I are going to be gone.
Yeah.
But before that, it can wind up, very well wind up costing you and I our freedom or our life to take a stand for God.
Amen.
Or this old King James Bible.
Amen.
Very well could. Could stand in jeopardy. Let me show you another. Look at 1 Corinthians 16 and verse number 13. The Bible says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. Ladies, quit ye like men. Just be strong. Stand fast in the faith, the Bible says. What faith? One faith, the faith in Christ. Ephesians 4 and 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. It's not all right for us to put aside all of our doctrinal differences and just come together and pray to God and not mention Jesus, because that's a controversial name. But we can all pray to God. It's not all right to do that.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
We went to a kite making flying festival in Montana one time. You can fly a kite in Montana. Wind blows like 50 miles an hour all the time. So we went to this kite making flying festival thing. A friend of mine, Isaac Drake, was with me. He pastors a church in Billings. He and his family, we was making kites and flying kites. We was having a good time, man. And it was like a Indian thing. So they had this Indian guy there, and he was talking about like herbs and medicines. Pretty interesting. Then he got talking about praying to the Great Spirit. He was talking about the Great Spirit. And my buddy Drake got to going, what's his name? What's his name? He's trying to give his presentation talking about the Great Spirit. Drake's going, what's his name? God's got a name. It's Jehovah. I am. What's his name? And I'm like, get him, boy. It's not all right to come together and do all that foolishness. One faith, the Bible says. If anybody says there's any other way to get to heaven and placing your faith in Jesus Christ, and you know what? They're not of us. Buddha's not the way. Muhammad's not the way. None of that foolishness is the way. There's only one way. There's one faith, and you and I are supposed to stand in the faith and nowhere else.
Yeah, amen.
Don't get caught up with your Jehovah Witness friends. Well, she likes pumpkin spice lattes like I do. So we'll just drink lattes and we'll be friends. You're going to be down in the kingdom hall sitting in the building with no witnesses. That's what you're going to be doing. Yeah. One faith.
Amen.
Let me show you something else. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter number 5. Oh, we got plenty of time. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 1. The Bible says in Galatians 5 and 1, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." In liberty, that's where you and I stand. Liberty to do what? To serve God. To serve the true and living God. Not live according to the course of this world like we did at one time. Not live according to that bondage that some religion had us in before Jesus Christ saved our souls. Some of us has been there, was in some kind of religion, had a form of religion, and God went within a million miles of it. You've been delivered, you've been saved, you've been born again, you know truth, you know a place where truth is preached and taught, and you and I can stand fast in the liberty that God gives us to live a life of service to Him. You say, that's liberty? Yes, yeah, liberty. Well, how do you know? Why didn't you do it before? Why didn't you serve God and stand in that liberty and live for God before you got saved? Because you didn't have a liberty to do it. You were in bondage. You were in bondage to this world, in bondage to your sin, in bondage to your flesh. And when you got saved, Jesus Christ delivered you from all of that. And now you can stand in the liberty that you have to serve God.
Amen.
I thank God for that.
Amen.
Let me show you another one. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. Look at verse number 11. The Bible says in Ephesians 6 and 11, "Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." You know where you and I stand as Christians? We stand against the wiles of the devil. You know what God's given you as a Christian? I don't care if you're 8 or 18 or 98 or anywhere in between. God has given you everything as a Christian you need to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know he's got some wiles. You know he's tricky. You know he hates you. You know he's got a lot of evil wisdom. You know this whole world hates you. Wiles of the devil, you and I can stand against it. James 4 and 7 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you."
Amen.
How do we resist him? How do we stand against the wiles of the devil? The armor of God.
Yeah, amen.
Helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, feet shod, loins covered, the sword of the Spirit.
Amen.
God's given you everything you need as a Christian to stand against the wiles of the devil. You ever see some people and they always tripped up by the same stinking thing?
Yeah, amen.
It ain't even different stuff. It's the same thing over and over and over, just tripping them up and causing them to fall and fail in their Christian life and Christian walk. You think God wants them as a Christian to live like that? He's given them everything they need. They're just not putting it on and using it. Amen. They're not standing against the wiles of the devil. He's tricky, man. He knows what you like. He knows what your flesh likes. He knows what your flesh wants. Turn to Philippians with me, chapter number 1. We should be right there. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 27. Where do we stand? Where do you stand tonight? Are you standing in these things? Look at verse number 27. Philippians 1 and 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye may stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now, according to this, that's a little s, we're not standing fast in the Holy Spirit. That's one spirit, that's one accord, one mind. Together. Single-minded, same purpose, same beliefs, same thoughts. About what? About a perfect Bible.
Yeah.
Say, well, I don't believe that. You need to talk to somebody.
Yeah.
About rightly dividing the word of truth.
Yeah.
It's got to be divided properly, like God laid it out. I'll not divide my Bible. You got an Old Testament and a New Testament. It's been divided.
Yeah.
God did it. About doctrine. About the way the church is organized. You know one thing I can tell you? If the Holy Spirit, God the Spirit, is not pleased with you and I, then there's going to be a bad spirit about the place because he's not going to be involved.
Amen.
You say, brother, we're an independent Baptist church. I know exactly what we are. You know that old saying, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy? I know plenty of people that make their wives miserable and they happy as a dead pig in the sun, man. Plenty of people. It's the way they want to live. They want to live fighting hell and having trouble in their home. But if God ain't happy, this church ain't going to be a happy place. And your home ain't going to be a happy place. And your marriage ain't going to be a happy marriage. And your children aren't going to be happy children and joyful. And that's the truth. Look at Philippians chapter number 4. Verse number 1. The Bible says, therefore, my brethren, Philippians 4 and 1, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. So stand fast in the Lord. See what that verse says about my joy and my crown? You know what happens when you stand fast in the Lord? You have joy in your life. Some people act like they don't enjoy being saved.
Yeah, amen.
Know anybody like that?
Yeah,
they always, always, always are mad about something and mad at their wife and mad at their husband and mad at the children, and there's 11 of them and 10 of them's always happy and joyful and one of them's always mad about something. They don't act like they enjoy being saved because things just come into their life and messes their plans up and it ain't right and I didn't want it to happen this way. It shouldn't be that way for a Christian.
Amen.
Stand fast in the Lord. Our joy is complete the Lord Jesus. John 15 and 11. These things have I spoken to you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. John 16, 24. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. 1 Peter 1 and 8. Whom having not seen ye love and whom though now you see him not yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You hadn't seen him, but if you called on him, he saved your soul and you know it. Why don't you have that joy in your life? You're not standing fast in the Lord.
Amen.
You're trusting in yourself and things and circumstances and what's going on and it don't look right and I can't make sense of it and you don't have any joy in your life when God said it shouldn't be that way.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
1 John 1 and 4. These things write we unto you that your joy may be full.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
A couple more and we're going to be done. Turn to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Verse number 12. Epaphras. Colossians 4 and 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. You know, we should stand as a Christian in the will of God.
Amen.
If you're saved, if you're born again, I don't care if you're a child, a teenager, an adult, a senior saint. I don't care what you are. God has a will for your life.
Yeah.
And you can know it. Well, how's a child supposed to know the will of God? They should have a praying mama and daddy to help them. If they don't, they got a pastor to help them. Or a Sunday school teacher to help them. If they're saved, God has someone in their life to help them know His will for their life. God has a will for your life. You should seek Him and ask Him and find Him and stand in it and be content. Man, that got quiet. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Two more. We're going to be done. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Yeah, 2. We can't do 4 in that one, can we? 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 15. The Bible says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. You say, well, them traditions is bad. You know what Paul's traditions are by word or by epistle? This book you hold in your hand. You know what you can stand fast in? This book.
Amen.
You know what preachers change? Denominations change. Church ages change. All kinds of things change. But you know what's not going to change? God's
Amen.
Word.
Amen.
It's not going to change. It's not going to change. Stand fast. Stand in the book. It'll help you. It'll strengthen you. It'll encourage you. It'll chastise you. It'll lead and guide. It'll help reveal the will of God for your life. Talking about the book. One more and we're done. I said I put them all in order. I flat out told you a story. Turn to Exodus chapter number 14. Exodus chapter number 14. You know the story. Moses led the children of Israel out and they went through the desert. They came to the Red Sea and Pharaoh and his army was closing in. Wasn't anywhere else to go. Nowhere else to turn. Nobody to turn to. No way out. No friends. No help. Look at verse number 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today shall see them no more forever. Sister Ann just said something to me about some double negatives the other night. You sure was laying some double negatives out. That's something there. No more forever. I don't know what that is, but it's something. No more forever. You done all you can do.
Yeah, amen.
And you beat down and you give out and things hadn't worked out and things are still haywire and I just don't know what else I can do. I don't have anywhere else to turn. You know what it might be time for? It might be time for you to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord.
Amen.
To stand still and give that thing to God and let God do what you couldn't do with all your works and your trying and your scheming and your plans. That's where we stand as Christians. Heads bowed, eyes closed tonight.